I'm Henry Lin, and welcome to Better World. Better World is an exploration of badass people who are doing really cool things. The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing it. So today, I've been abandoned by everyone. Mothers, friends, girlfriends. It's quite depressing here at the end of winter. Until two unicorns came in fairly well-dressed attire. It was pretty impressive. Everybody was soaked. And while we do miss Barnett and Maddie, we have two guests today, which is very, very exciting. And we're going to be talking about a subject which is very near and dear to us. At Better World, you may have noticed that we review three or four companies in any given topic over time. And it gives us a broad perspective on some of the different types of companies that you can vote for with your dollar. We at Better World are also huge proponents of sustainable fashion, since fashion is one of the largest waste contributors. 10.5 million tons go into the landfill every year. 85% of people don't recycle their fashion. And the large majority of fast fashion is built with a half-life of only a year. Mm-hmm. Awful. So today, I'd like to welcome two heroes. Guys, welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
Really stoked to be here.
So, Chloe looks, in particular, very stoked. She's pumped. She's got a very lovely smile. Thanks for showing.
After that intro, very excited to be here.
Right after that intro. After the morbid, everything is dying intro. So guys, tell us a little bit about your company, who you are, where you're from. You know, tell me the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm Chloe.
Yeah, I'm Stuart.
We launched Thousand Fell about 3 months ago, so we're very new. We just passed our 12th week. I'm from California, Northern California, Menlo Park, and we met in China about 5 years ago.
What were you guys doing in China?
Ended up doing a post-grad program over in Asia for a year.
Sick.
It was awesome. And then moved to Shanghai and was living and working there for about 2 years.
So I'd like to point out that you're wearing a really killer hoodie that says Friends of the Future on the back.
Yes.
Yeah. It's part of our...
That's the community that we're launching in about 3 weeks.
Tight. I figured that it might be a, you know, interesting segue given the fact that I'm attracted to rainbow coloring of any sort.
We got to get you a hoodie then.
You definitely got to get me a hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm like all alone, just here crying in my hoodie. It's very Drake, the whole thing. I'm into it.
That's how all great rap albums start.
That's right. Tears and hoodies. Tell me a little bit about the community that you guys are starting, because it really jumped out at me. So I assumed it was in fact a thing.
So kind of just to frame it up, our kind of goal or mission with Thousand Fell is to influence mass behavior change, and is to influence mass behavior change and at an accessible price point. So we want to reach the widest audience possible and really focusing on everything we launch with Thousand Fell at or below $100.
Right.
And kind of to back that up to this point, we really feel that sustainability in the movement itself has been held in the hands of the few.
Right.
And there's a wider demographic, particularly here in the US.
Why do you think it's been held in the hands of the few?
Price. It's really been inaccessible. And this also started, I was at Gap for the 3 years prior to starting this brand. So we started working on the brand about 3 years ago while I was at Gap. I left fall of 2018, so we kind of launched fall of 2018 full-time working on this. But I was on my Gap salary, and I wanted to buy awesome, you know, vegan leather shoes, XYZ, and I really couldn't afford it. I could maybe save up for an end-of-the-year sale to get kind of the best ethically sourced designer fashion, but there weren't great and cool, sustainable options.
Right, so you're looking for middle-of-the-road, you know, every kind of piece, but also very, very cool. Sustainable,
though.
We did
not want to sacrifice brand. We didn't want to sacrifice aesthetic, but we wanted it to come at a price point that was acceptable, especially for these basics that you replace multiple times throughout the year.
Right.
And that really, and we can get back into that, but that feeds really into Friend of the Future and our community and our goal to bring as many people as possible from different walks of life and different backgrounds who they care about sustainability, they care about building a better tomorrow, but it might be one of five causes that they care about, not their singularly focused cause, and bring them all together under the pretense really of building a better tomorrow and building a better world. And removing a lot of the eco grief and shame and fear that comes along with trying to do better in the sustainability space right
now. That's really great. And that, I mean, super important. I've also noticed that despite the fact that you're both incredibly dressed and you have great vibes, shout out to Great Vibes, it also appears that you're taking a section of fashion that has otherwise been brutalized by the unsustainable side. So you're currently wearing an opening ceremony sweatshirt. These, you know, like hip, recurring, seasonal, cyclical, buy this new thing, mm-hmm. this fresh thing, almost replace every garment that you have every, you know, year, 2 years cyclically rather than keeping it for 5 years is the, you know, one of the last forefronts. We've had a tremendous number of folk on the show, some who are doing resale and pre-owned fashion,
yeah, that's awesome.
Some who are doing sustainable sweaters and mm-hmm. cashmere, and some even recently who are doing sustainable luxury. But
right.
that mid-level that's also just attacking the cool kids because there is a tremendous amount of fashion that's made and that trickles down seems to be the uncharted frontier. Can you tell me a little bit about the line and which portion of that fashion segment you guys are attacking?
Yeah. So our first product line, it's a fully recyclable sneaker. It's $120. The shoe itself is $100. When you return the shoe to us, you get $20 back.
Oh, killer.
So we're really trying to incentivize behavior change and kind of teaching you to build a longer term relationship with brands that create your products, whether it be in fashion or whether it be in other consumer goods, and really buying into brands that have end of life solutions designed into the product from inception. So the whole shoe can be taken apart. We spent about 2 years in R&D with the materials, the glues, the way it's constructed so that it can be pulled apart. And we have a recycling facility in New Jersey where we'll actually be working to put 80% of an old shoe back into a new shoe. And then the additional 20% will be both industrially composted. So we have a lot of food waste in the shoe. And Stuart can really walk us through what's in the shoe in a minute. And then upcycled, so into upholstery or construction projects.
Yeah, and I think also to answer your question too, I think at that higher price point, you see resale as being a really great solution mm-hmm. for sustainability. Look like the Real Real or Rebag or any of these other brands that are doing a great job. And even in the footwear space, there's like StockX and Stadium Goods for like the limited release sneakers that have kind of a second life. But with a lower price point item at that kind of $100 every day, 10,000 steps a day, running through the city in it, going to work, going to bars, going to the park on the weekend, there really isn't an aftermarket. Like you'd be hard pressed to sell like your old tennis shoes to anybody. So this is a perfect product category to put on that closed loop system. So when you're done with it, instead of either trying to donate it, and the majority of actually donated clothing goes straight to landfill anyway. It's like 85%. It's kind of crazy. So instead of trying to donate those materials for or those products for a second life, send it back to the brand, have the brand totally recycle it and put it back into new shoes. And so that's kind of the system that we've built. And again, it's kind of that everyday mass market sneaker that we're attacking.
Yeah. We kind of define this product category as a high frequency basic. Yeah. And we liken everyday lower price point footwear actually to intimates or lingerie. And you don't think about it, but it's really hard to donate shoes when you've worn them every day, 10,000 steps a day for months. If there's a smell at all on the inside, it's a sign of bacteria and they can't be donated.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
So the first users
like harmful bacteria?
No, but it's just
like E. coli? Like foot fungus?
Like fungus.
No, yeah. <they do. laughs>
Like nobody wants your dirty old sneakers. And so it's really a product category that's perfect to put into a closed loop system because, you know, especially our core like customer base, and we're really looking at 23 to 29, haloing up, but then also haloing down like high school and college. Like it's a new 10,000 step a day shoe. You're wearing sneakers Monday to Friday to class or commuting on the subway, and then you're not thinking about it, and you're wearing it to a music festival on Saturday, and it's brown on Sunday.
Right.
Also,
only if it's a great music festival.
Or a great dive bar.
Could go either way.
Yep, could go either way. And
people who live in Brooklyn.
And then the price point is such that on a Sunday, it's $80, and you know, after a few months, you just pick up a new pair. And then what we've found is kind of this.
I'm sluttier with my shoes than I am with my dates. Like it's really, really bad. You rotate through them very, very heavily. And I've also noticed that as the shoe industry has progressed, there have been corners cut in things like the soles, just like the basic wear and tear materials are now degrading faster in literally every shoe I buy. And, you know, shout out to Nike. I buy a lot of them, but still, guys, what's going on the inside of my shoe?
Yeah. Durability is such a critical component to sustainability. Like you don't want to, you mentioned that in the opener, like the half-life of fast fashion clothing being a year. We want to make sure that our products last for a long time. And so, you know, even if they do wear down, obviously having a end-of-life solution for it.
Do you want to speak to what we've done for durability and maybe the three phases of sustainability?
Yeah, thanks for teeing me up. I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess we kind of look at sustainability high level as like sustainability 1.0 is like beginning a supply chain transparency. So who made your product and was it ethically made and were the workers paid a fair wage? And all super important things. To kind of tackle and have laid out. And then 2.0 is material innovation for an end user need. So like oftentimes in footwear, it's comfort. It's like, how comfortable can your shoes be?
You did say industrial composted waste, which I would love to get to right after this commercial break. A shout out to Smile Radio. These guys are just some of the greatest, most caring people in podcast radio, but also some of the best people in food. Check out the Smile to Go. And our studio, we're on 24th and Lexington Avenue. Check out Elfcast too, and maybe some of our other shows. We're doing really great things over here at smileradio.fm on the old Instagrams. And if you would like to rent out the podcast studio, it is available. DM smileradio.fm if you decide that you have aspirations to be yet another asshole behind a microphone. I certainly am one. Smileradio.fm. Thanks, guys, and welcome back. I got one with Chloe. Yes, landed it. Making you laugh is like watching a unicorn get its horn.
Oh, my God.
So, Stuart, you were about to tell us about the material that is industrial compost material.
Yeah, so we've replaced a lot of virgin plastic in the shoe with food waste component parts. So heel cap, toe cap, footboard. A lot of that stuff that is plastic, we've replaced with coconut husk and sugarcane and palm tree leaf. We actually manufacture down in Brazil, so a lot of that stuff's local. And that way we can pull it out and put it into compost, so it composts in under a year with no microplastic pollution.
Got it. So is it a biopolymer solution that's made?
Yeah, it's just like coconut fiber. It's backed with an organic cotton and then just kind of a natural resin that they put in there. And so you're actually able to form fit it on the back heel counter.
Oh, that's really cool. Out of curiosity, the leather that you guys are using, I'm staring at the shoe right now, incidentally, people. The leather that you guys are using, how is it made?
Yeah, so we use, it's a recycled plastic water bottle base. So it's all post-consumer plastic bottles. It's a woven fabric, so it's a little bit more breathable than like your microfiber, and you can actually recycle it. And then they use a corn waste resin over top of it. And this is like our eighth iteration of the material so that it actually works with sneakers and doesn't blow out.
Why did you guys choose the recycled plastic route? Are you concerned in any way from the degradation, microbeading?
Yeah.
Not it.
We chose recycled polyester for a few reasons. So recycled, post-consumer recycled plastic, recycled polyester, RPET, it's the same thing. It is easier for us to recycle it than a lot of other options out there. So to actually keep it circular and put it back into our supply chain.
Right, we're thinking about this from a closed loop system perspective. Yeah. Right.
So actually the laces, the inner liner, which you can't see, and the leather are all RPET based so that we can put them back into a new shoe in a single stream. And the second, we did actually start with all natural materials, but as Stuart was kind of walking through, durability was a big issue. So for us, we wanted these shoes to last as long as a standard mass market leather shoe. So we tested the shoe, kind of there's standard Satra and strength testing, but we've tested this shoe the equivalent of 2.4 million steps. So I think every day, 8 months, 10,000 steps a day, and there's no cracking or crocking, the glue holds, the leather or leather bio leather doesn't wear down. We were not having the same success with the initial fully bio-based materials, but we're still working into them for the future.
Got it.
Especially at lower price point lines in the future, would it make sense to collect back, put into our closed loop system, or have things that go straight to compost and could be industrially composted after the consumer's done? Those are things that we're looking into. But this was kind of like the best gold standard that we could get to.
There's a shit ton of plastic. We have to do something with it. So right. I'm into that
argument. And the other thing is we are not recommending, the problem with microplastic pollution is generally clothes washing, like washing your clothes or as it wears down, we are not recommending that you throw these shoes in the washer. We actually have kind of a protocol for cleaning, and we've actually coated the bioleather with quartz, with silicon dioxide, which is a natural stain resistant and water resistant barrier. So they stay white longer. And so we've really taken what we think an effort to design into durability. And then the inside of the shoe, we talked about smell earlier. We've actually coated the fabric liner on the inside with aloe vera. At the mill stage. So it's a natural way to keep it antimicrobial. So a lot of other brands that are working on antimicrobial will use copper or silver and metals, which impact our ability to recycle. And so every material actually in the shoe, something we'll probably talk about later, is a single material feed. So that when we pull the shoe apart, we then have 6 to 7 material feeds that we are working with 6 or 7 recyclers or recycling systems to kind of grind back and then put back into our own feed.
What are your backgrounds and how did you guys meet? Because you're a shoe scientist and I find that fascinating.
So met in Shanghai about 5 or 6 years ago. We're both living and working over there. And my background's in footwear development. So started working with a footwear company when I was over in Shanghai, and then launched it actually in the US and spent the better part of 6 months developing the full line. And that was a lot of time back and forth between Dongguan, which is kind of the footwear capital in southern China, and Shanghai, doing everything from material sourcing and fabric sourcing to testing and R&D and sampling. And so kind of literally learned on the job, like 2 blocks from a footwear factory where I lived for 3 months on how to develop product. And then I've been in the space ever since.
It sounds to me like you guys are starting with shoes and heading to other, I mean, granted, you're wearing my favorite hoodie now. So moving to other products, what products are we thinking about tackling next?
Yeah, so we're super focused on footwear right now. So next would be a couple other iterations or releases within footwear. But then our actual larger vision is to build a platform where we could empower circular retail and circular design for other brands. And I think, it's taken us a big team and multiple years and a high kind of cost barrier to build out a recycling system and to actually source these materials or proprietary materials that can be recycled, and particularly within footwear to work through things. Stuart sold himself short there in the last answer. He's really the shoe guru. He's been doing shoes for 5 or 6 years.
Or the shuru.
The shuru.
That's one way to say.
I'm going to take that.
That's your Halloween
costume.
Are you
kidding me? You're going to be using that at the bar later.
Shuru.
That's right. LinkedIn.
Some hot Chloe lookalike rolls up to you and is like, hey, I dig your kicks. Thank you. I'm the shuru.
Lol.
I think I need a full beard for that.
You definitely end the Brooklyn dive bar that we were talking about previously.
Comes full circle.
And we're back. It also sounds like you guys are going to go into different styles. I would like to note, actually, contextually for the viewer who is not able to see the shoes that you are currently wearing that I'm looking at, that it's much like in Adidas, like a Stans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good comparison, yeah. Stan Smith.
We wanted the most versatile for the first line, everyday basic. Literally, but elevated basic. It looks cool, but we wanted the shoe, again, that you're wearing to
white,
work.
White, old school tennis sneaker in a vegan leather that looks like it could withstand a real pounding from your local dive bar.
It definitely can. I've been wearing these every day for 4 months. So they really do stay white.
So when did you guys move back from China and decide to launch the company?
So to build a little bit further in the background, so when we met in China, I was also working in retail before kind of a luxury label in China. And then we moved back and I was at Gap, I mentioned, for the last 3 years. So Gap has a management training program in San Francisco that I was a part of. And through that, spent a lot of time kind of getting near their strategy team while they were doing a ton of different material innovation. And so a lot of this started, and this passion started, with our kind of interest in new materials and biofabrication, cellular agriculture. Mm-hmm. We just really admire companies like Bolt Threads and Modern Meadow that, 3-4 years ago were really nascent and new. And so Stuart was running his other brand, and we as a pastime kind of joined Material Connection here in New York and Materio in Paris, which are big material libraries that have kind of, across the gamut, mycelium or like fish skin, like all the new types of materials coming down the pipeline. And with one of our old partners back in China, we were really fortunate to have built great manufacturing relationships in China. We do now manufacture in Brazil, but you know, we love China and I speak the language. And so we started just testing a bunch of different new materials. And that's kind of how this came to be. And Thousandfell also stands for a multiplicity of new materials. Fell is an old English word for animal leather and animal skin. We'll never use...
That's badass.
Yeah. A fell monger used to bring hides to market. And hides or different types
sounds
of
sounds like an ex-girlfriend
wares.
Description. I'm sorry.
A fell monger. And we'll never use leather, but our whole goal is to build a thousand fell library of new materials over time. And then to continually design into products that don't have harm at end of life, or that we as a brand have a solution for end of life.
And within this closed loop system, mm-hmm. it sounds like you can then migrate into other types of uses of the material for other products. So once you nail it within one, you're able to broaden it across.
We don't know exactly which product line Thousandfell would launch next. We have ideas within sneakers or footwear. But our goal is to help other brands. So especially because really what's taken us a long time and what's also been really hard is it's not
help them by way of the supply chain or by way
both.
Of creating their own. Okay.
So it's not like there was a sneaker recycler. There's nobody that just like knows how to recycle sneakers. So we've spent the better part of the last 2 years setting up our own backend supply chain as well. And so kind of our goal over the next 12 months is really to, starting with Thousandfell, prove that you can build a profitable business incorporating recycling and material innovation from day one. And then...
Oh, and then it's a wake up Nike campaign.
And then help every other... Generally, we'll start with small brands that couldn't afford to do it, is kind of our vision.
No, let's get Frank Ocean. We'll remix the whole song. All you want is Nikes, but recycled. Like, I see the whole thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm the reason they're canceling Coachella. It's fine.
You can speak more to that.
The platform?
Yeah.
Yeah,
or just recycling.
I just think there's a huge opportunity there. I think everybody's, or not everybody, but a lot of people are starting to talk about it. And I think you're starting to see the bigger brands announce a commitment to circularity, but
not really get there.
But no products really. So it's
so we're letting the innovators come in and you guys are going to shepherd them.
Yeah. I would hope so.
You know what? It's not a winner takes all market. There's never going to be one footwear brand. And probably an investor wouldn't like me saying this, but like, hopefully Nike comes out with another version of a recyclable shoe. Adidas already has an awesome one.
Well, those are the water bottle recyclable, you know, in conjunction with Parley. I think they were great steps. But what you guys are talking about is the huge differentiation between you and Adidas is, in fact, the closed loop.
We are hopefully the first closed loop sneaker launched at scale.
You are not creating trash, whereas Adidas eventually has trash somewhere in the waste stream. And so that... It's an incredible thing that you guys have done, and I definitely, definitely applaud. We're going to take one more commercial break where I will be giving a shout out to all of our guests at Better World, all of our really awesome and wonderful guests. Betterworld.media, if you go to the old interwebs, has all of the products of the people who have been on Better World. We would like you to become better acquainted with some of these world-changing products and use your dollar to vote for change. So whether or not it is within your bathroom or your kitchen and you're looking at cleaning products like Branch Basics and Blue Land, or you're looking at plastic-free goods like our great friends over at the Package Free Shop, or you're looking at cool sneakers like Thousandfell or Nadam, because I love my cashmere, we want you to become better acquainted with these net good companies. So we are trying to make it as easy as possible. Check out betterworld.media and show your support to these companies, because every single thing that you buy has a net good alternative. All you got to do is go out and find it. Shout out to Maddie. I miss her when she's not around. Okay, thanks. And we're back. My nostalgia aside. Stuart, it sounded like You guys were having a hand signaling slash whispering powwow before about something very pressing that you need to make a point on. So I want to open up to whatever. Like, if you want to talk about your childhood right now, like, let's go.
No, Chloe just told me to make better eye contact. It's hard because I'm trying
I'm trying
to speak into this microphone, but also look at everybody at the same time.
Well, the microphone is suspended from a ceiling, and we have you in a sex swing, so it's whole thing's really awkward. Tough.
It's a moving target, literally.
I'm saying, just can't even get it.
That was it. How's that?
Oh, okay, good times. Yeah. Good times. So, when you guys launch this community, how are you going about launching the community from both sides? Because I'm interested in how you're going to aggregate the consumer, as well as how are we going to let the new sneakerhead who's online at Supreme right now, he's like 19 and he's about to launch his new brand. It's just mulling around in his head. How are we going to let him know, her know, they know about this platform?
I'll tackle that. I think we're targeting a couple different groups, starting with college campuses. So we've got Friends of the Future campuses, and then also targeting kind of our key cities where we're seeing a lot of our early customers. So Friends of the Future cities, which I love both of those names, which is why I repeated them.
I thought it was brilliant.
So really targeting.
Chloe's kind of, got a proud mom look on her face right now. It's pretty great.
So I don't know. I think that's kind of where we're going to start. And I think it's kind of two things. One, I think it's fairly easy to go out and find sort of like an initial community. We've done it on social, a lot of inbound on DMs, like, hey, how can I get involved? And I think our core audience are like used to engaging with brands in a more authentic way.
Sure.
So it's a good starting point. I then think it's kind of falls on us to figure out ways to cultivate value add for these customers and like not only like educate them and bring them in and educate them on what we're doing, but then also giving them an opportunity to talk to one another. And I think that's where we've gained the most value as like founders and as a brand, listening to what people care about and what they're interested in, what they understand and what they don't. And so like there's a strategy around social and around bringing people onto like a Slack channel and finding ways for people to kind of get together and communicate and then also bringing that offline. So a big kind of vision for us in 2020 is doing offline events and having a place and activations for like our customers to come and our early community to come.
Well, it sounds like you guys are running in the same circles from a sustainability standpoint as the refashion folks. And so I can foresee you guys, you know, with your adjacencies getting together and even working with some of like the Package Free Shop folks and really building a wonderful coalition around this. And I look forward to not only, you know, the hoodie and trying the shoes and really being able to feel the difference in the product because it looks like you guys have made an incredible quality product, not something where, again, we have to sacrifice or it's not that cool looking or it's, I see all of these wonderful Brazilian made, like I get bombarded by the Instagram advertising for these shoes and I'm just never down. I went with one of them, I will not name them, but I was super stoked about them because they had all of these features. I'm making air quotes to the listeners at home. And I put the thing on and it looked like I had inflated a plastic bag on my foot.
No one wants that.
Literally no one wants that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That you recognize that. I think that was a big challenge for us. We wanted something that we were pumped to wear every day. It's good gen one. I'm excited.
Sneaker kids doing sneaker shit. I get it.
Really lucky. Our design team came from Cole Haan and Nike.
Oh, wow.
So we worked with the former head of design at Cole Haan for 20 years.
Gonna send Nike an invoice for all the promotion we've done for them today.
Yeah, I know. But we're also in the best city in the world to have built a product like this.
Hands down. We've
built such a fantastic team. Even the team that's bringing the brand world together.
Yeah.
It's a team called Studio Institute. It's run by a guy named Nate Brown, and they really understand culture and music and where we want these sneakers to fit within culture. And so we're really looking at, you know, carbon negative music festivals and cool activations. And
there's a few of them. I was told about Mother recently, which is happening in September. And I think it's a Golden Voice offshoot, guys. But I am very, very, very excited about the fact that you guys are so integrated into these different and adjacent communities. Out of curiosity, We, of course, would encourage everybody to go to ThousandFell. What's that internet address?
ThousandFell.com.
There it is. Go. Don't waste any time. And we would, and of course, I encourage you to purchase hoodies, shoes, all the sustainable things. But we would also encourage certain other behaviors. Like if you're becoming a shoe manufacturer, mm-hmm. just a little guy starting up, have a look. What are some of the other things that the individuals can do to become more sustainable?
We talk about this actually in relationship to community all the time, and you've brought it up a few times, but what would we want our friends of the future or people that love ThousandFell to do authentically offline, not related to buying product?
Right.
Like, what would make us so fucking pumped that we just like got started? And it was
face painting party.
A face painting party where you're meeting, or like basically if every high school campus in the US had a clothing recycling bin, or people, kids or younger people were actually looking at labels before they're buying their clothes and like trying.
Did you know you're talking to the kid who started the recycling program in the New York City Board of Education?
No.
That's awesome.
It's a little claim to fame I have. It also ages myself because this was the mid-90s. Woof. Yes.
That's awesome.
We started at LaGuardia. I was on the superintendent's student board, and I was actually nominated to be on the Board of Education itself. They did not want a white blonde kid from the Upper East Side, though. They didn't think he was representative as a privileged white male at that time. It was definitely a fair call. But suffice to say, one of the challenges with recycling was that where originally you were getting a usable product that you could resell, you no longer are. So the ongoing conversation, particularly around companies like TerraCycling that are recycling everything, I think are very, very important. I'm really stoked that you brought it up as a recycling addict.
We love TerraCycle.
Those guys are great, huh?
They're fantastic. Tom's a genius. But what are kind of in that vein and speaking about fast fashion, buying cheaper clothes, I think it's a consciousness about what you're buying. So, and looking at labels, not everything can be recycled. So especially like blends. So in cheaper fashion, you see cotton poly blends or cotton span blends, spandex. You know, I think we've just even become more conscious over the last 5 years, and we only try to buy like, yes, I'm wearing, you mentioned opening ceremony, but it's 100% cotton and I've had it 5 years.
So first off, like, it looks great. It's a classic piece. She's going to wear it forever.
It's going to resell high yep. in a couple years. And so there's, you know, the first, basically the way we look at it is, and it's similar to how we actually design, is first we look at material innovation. And so for material innovation for us is new materials or materials that can biodegrade, so natural materials.
Right.
And so you're looking for all 100% cotton, 100% wool, or 100%.
So we want our communities now that are talking about their clothing, that are looking at what they're purchasing, to understand the components of what they purchase and to skew
right.
a little bit more towards natural and biodegradable materials.
Yes. And or previously recycled materials. So recycled polyester, if you're washing it with a guppy bag. So you'll see brands that have, you know, recycled poly leggings, et cetera. And then, though, the second step is durability. And there's many different steps to durability. So Depop and what's the other one? Real, the younger one. Resale.
Vintage Twin.
Yeah, Vintage Twin. I'm like, I don't know why I'm spacing the one we love. Oh, ThredUp. Like ThredUp, all these places, reselling clothes, buying into the reuse, renew, recycle, clothing swaps, kind of removing that stigma of wearing outfits more than once. And then third and foremost, if you actually do have things like intimates or sneakers that, you know, or a t-shirt that you totally spilled on that can't be donated or can't actually be resold, looking into the Ellen MacArthur Foundation and requesting recycling bins or clothing waste recycling bins for your building or your school, and actually recycling versus throwing out.
Give it to them again. You don't have to have a website, do you?
Oh, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. Mm-hmm. In New York City, and I don't actually know off the top of my head the website, but there is a website.
Yeah.
New York City has a end textile and fashion waste program where for your apartment building in New York, you can actually request a bin. Which we've done for our building. So I'm like blanking on the name.
I can retire now. You guys made the building better. Like, let's go. Oh, can I come to the wedding? Let's talk about it. Guys, it seems like there is no shortage of community that you guys are going to be building. And I would like to make the offer that if you have any additional information that you would like to post on our blog about not only community events, but about some of the insight that you've given into recycling methods and different production methods and how you should look at your clothes and judge and choose your clothes, we'd love to have you.
That'd be awesome. I'll take you up on that.
Fantastic.
You know, like, let's go. So guys, thank you very, very much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
My producer's gonna have a shit fit when she hears this song. Look, I did it for Frank. I love Frank. And because I miss Maddie and Barnett, all right? I'm an emotional being. Stuart, Chloe, thanks for coming on the pod. Appreciate you guys very much. You have beautiful fucking shoes.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
This has been Better Worlds. We'll see you guys very soon.